working through. And so that's very, very good news. We will take testimonies during the Lord's Supper service tonight. And so we'll wait and postpone those till that time. But if you look in your bulletin or in your Bibles to Psalm 119, we are looking at verses 41 through 44, the verses for the month of November. This being the first month, I don't know how close you are to staying on track and memorizing these. Here's the truth. If you would give an hour to this, if you would give an hour to working on scripture memory, you could probably pick up 8 to 10 verses in an hour if you would just work on them over and over, learn to connect your first words of each verse. I dare say that maybe some of you have not memorized a verse in a long, long time. And the reason we had this goal this year was to encourage all of us to give a little bit more diligence to memorization. The reason we do that is we also meditate when we memorize. So because we review it over and over, guess what? We meditate. We get more out of it. And so if you have not started this and you say, oh, Pastor, that's just something I kind of bypassed, the end of the year is not here yet. And it would be good for you to sit down, let's say with just 4 verses, maybe the verses this month, and just say, Lord, help me to know these verses. And of course, if you're working on it through the year, you're building verses upon verses as you go through. So let's read these verses out loud together. Psalm 119, verse number 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. So many prayers by the psalmist directly to God in agreement with the word of God. That's a good way to pray, in agreement with the word of God. And we have example after example there. And so stand with me if you would. Let's open our service in a word of prayer this evening. It's good to see each and every one of you. And I'm going to ask Scott Dombeck, if you would, to pray over the service. Amen. Take your songbooks. Let's sing together.
Hymn number 51. Hymn number 51, Blessed Assurance. We'll sing all 3 stanzas of hymn number 51. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a story. Please remain standing for prayer. Brother Kyle, would you pray over our offering, please? Please be seated. Stand with me, please. Turn to hymn number 406. 406, God leads us along. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn number 406.
Sometimes on the
mount where the sun shines so bright. God leads his dear children along, where the pines in the valley in darkest of night. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, please be seated.
Strength. Bibles now, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, when you found John chapter 10, stand with me if you would for the reading of God's word. John chapter 10, I'm going to read one verse, verse 11. John chapter 10 and verse 11. The Bible says, and Jesus is speaking here, the Bible says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you loved the world so much that you gave your only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh God, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that if there's one here among us tonight that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that tonight they would get saved, maybe by way of live stream. Lord, this is, we're going to learn about your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you for him. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with our preacher as he brings us this message tonight. And God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to truly focus on your son as we prepare for the celebration of your table tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to focus on our Savior and his sacrifice for us. And God, I pray again you'd be with the preaching of your word tonight. May you be glorified and honored in it. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Over the past 2 years, on Lord's Supper nights, I have preached through a series on the believer's relationship to God. And so we've looked at different aspects of our relationship. We have studied the fact that he's creator and we are his creation. We've studied the fact that he's father and we're child. He's potter, we're clay. He's the vine, we're the branches. He's the captain, we're the soldier. He's the teacher, we're the student. He's the master, we're the servant. And tonight, he's the shepherd, and we're the sheep. Christ was speaking to Jews that some of them were living in darkness. Some of them had not believed on Christ. And he had dealt with them briefly about him being the door and the light of the world. And now he shifts gears into another metaphor, another analogy, if you will, of being a sheep and or being a shepherd and us being sheep. To the Jewish mind, a shepherd was any kind of a leader, spiritual or political. People looked on the king and prophets as shepherds in Israel. What Christ was trying to get them to realize was that there was really no shepherd in the sense of Christ being the shepherd until Christ came. That everything before them was people that were hirelings and not shepherds. While sheep in those days were indeed raised by some for food and sacrifices, more often sheep were raised for wool. And so a shepherd would typically tend his sheep for years, calling his flock by name. It was a highly personal occupation. The very existence of a sheep depended on the shepherd and his 24-hour-a-day care. That is why there was no sharper image of tragedy for the ancient mind than the sheep being without a shepherd. And remember, Christ saw that. When he looked over Israel in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And his heart was moved with compassion. It churned his stomach to see people without a shepherd. Do you understand tonight, if you're without Jesus Christ, that is, you've never been born again, you've never placed your complete trust in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for your sin, you are a sheep without a shepherd. That's a bad place to be. Philip Keller, in his interesting book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, how many of you have ever glanced at that book or read any part of that book? That is an excellent read. It's an excellent devotional read as a supplement. In that book, though, he describes a danger that is unique to sheep. The shepherds call it cast down or simply cast. It has to do with a sheep that cannot regain its feet. And Keller writes about this when he says, even the largest, fattest, strongest, and sometimes healthiest sheep can become cast and be a casualty. The way it happens is this. A heavy, fat, or long-fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax, but suddenly the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. Keller then continues to discuss some problems that are unique to sheep. The overall thrust of his book is how utterly helpless sheep are. And that's you and me. How utterly helpless we are. Among the animal kingdom, sheep seem to have come out on the short end. From all accounts, they are of limited intelligence. When it comes to finding food, sheep are uncreative. They are creatures of habit. They will follow paths through desolate places, even though not far away is excellent forage. Sheep are also given to listless wandering. They are definitely the lower end of the intelligence scale. There are even accounts of their walking into an open fire. Shepherds confirm that they are timid and at the same time stubborn. They can be frightened by the most ridiculous things, though at other times nothing can move them. Even without enemies, sheep need to have a shepherd attentively watching over them. They are absolutely defenseless. There's no way a sheep can defend itself. A skunk can. Right? We were driving the other day, and boy, we came across the strong stench of a skunk. And I thought to myself, he just defended himself not too long ago, and I'm getting the after effects of it. A bear can defend itself. A lion can defend itself, but sheep have no defense. They need a shepherd. Sometimes sheep get cast down. They get in the cast position. They can't seem to get themselves back up. You ever been laid out flat by a tragedy in your life where you were cast? I mean, you didn't know what to do. You didn't know how to think. You didn't know what was going to happen next. Life just took a major right turn in a moment. Yeah, because as sheep, we get cast, don't we? And God knew that. And so he paints this wonderful picture of a sheep and a shepherd. The need of a shepherd, if you're taking notes tonight, the need of a shepherd. I want you to see the need of a shepherd. John chapter 10, we'll be in John chapter 10 for most of the evening tonight. John 10, verse number 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to destroy. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. My friend, the reason you need a shepherd tonight is because there's a thief. And if you're a believer tonight, you need to understand the thieves are prowling outside of the sheep gate. That's the picture that Christ speaks of. He says there are thieves that they seek to steal and to kill and to destroy. They have no good intentions in mind. And he says, I am come as the good shepherd in verse number 11, that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. In other words, so that the enemy doesn't get his way with your life or with your family. And so we see the need of the shepherd tonight. We see it in his purpose. His purpose is to come to give life. You understand tonight, if you're without Jesus Christ, you do not have the life that Jesus gives. But that shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep, gave his life for the world, came so that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Look at John chapter 10 and verse number 5. John chapter 10 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. If a stranger enters the pen, the sheep run from him because his voice is not familiar." Do you understand, though, if you're not a sheep tonight in Christ's fold, you don't have a voice that you know that cares about you. You need the good shepherd. You need to be saved. In John chapter 10 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Drop down to verse number 16, if you will, in the same chapter. The Bible says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." He's speaking of Jews and Gentiles here. He's saying the Jews, they're my people, they're my sheep, but they're sheep that I am going to form another flock, and they shall all be one flock. He's speaking of the local church there. But he's constantly looking to add to his flock. If you're outside the fold tonight, you're not saved. The shepherd offers you an eternal relationship with him. A relationship modeled on that between the Father and the Son, a relationship that satisfies. If you are one of his sheep, that relationship is a foundational reality for your life. If you're one of his sheep tonight. Christ was saying, as the door, I'm the protector and I'm the provider. Eureka! Just found out two things about my God through him being the door. He's my protector and he's my provider. You see, when you come in the door of salvation, not only are you saved, but you are safe. You are saved for eternity. You have eternal life and it's done. It's once and done. It's being born again. You're saved, but you enter the fold and now you have a shepherd that watches over you. That's wonderful truth. Because he is the door, and when we go in, we find protection and salvation. And watch this. When we go out, we find pasture. And we find abundant life. Why? Because he laid down his life for the sheep. He's not just concerned about you being safe in the sheep gate. He's interested in you being sustained in the pasture. That's the work of the shepherd. That's what he does for us. Notice the entrance of the shepherd in John chapter 10. Listen, everybody, every human being needs a shepherd. They need the good shepherd. It's a wonderful thing. If you're doing the Bible study with somebody that's lost, this is a wonderful passage to work through. Explain to them what they're missing in a shepherd. You know what? Mary can't be your shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep. Look at his entrance, verse number 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." He enters in by the door. He understand, in that culture, they would have known people that would have come up the back wall into the sheepfold and grabbed one of those sheep and pulled one of those sheep out of the fold and captured and killed one of those sheep. He's talking about the robber there. But not the shepherd. The shepherd enters. "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." When it's talking about him entering into the door, the Bible's very clear here. He's speaking about his familiarity with the sheep. He has a knowledge of the sheep. I think it's in verse number three. It says, to him the porter openeth. This is the true shepherd. This is the good shepherd. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Shepherds knew their sheep well and gave them names. As sheep hear the sound of their own owner's familiar voice, they go to him. And he leads them out of the pen together. He calls his own sheep by name. He pictures the shepherd here coming up to the corral, his automatic recognition of the gatekeeper, his admission into the fold, and his walk among the multitude of flocks. So back in Bible times, there would have been multiple flocks in the sheepfold. But here comes one of the shepherds, and the porter recognizes him. He opens the gate. He walks into that bounty of sheep, and he begins calling the names of his sheep. And his sheep recognize his voice. That indicates relationship. Throughout the book of John, the word know means much more than intellectual awareness. It speaks of relationship with the Lord. In fact, 61 times you'll find that word in the book of John. He knows our natures. He knows your nature tonight. While all sheep are alike in their essential nature, each sheep has its own distinctive characteristics. The loving shepherd recognizes those traits. One sheep may be afraid of high places. Another one of dark shadows. A faithful shepherd will consider these special needs as he tends to his flock. He knows his sheep. He knows us in the most profound ways. He knows our past with its failures and its hurts. He knows our present. He knows our unrealized longings, our desires that haven't yet been fulfilled. The shepherd knows the sheep. He knows us in the most intimate ways. He knows our idiosyncrasies. Maybe he calls us by our characteristics. He might affectionately call us grumpy or fearful or faithless, just as we might talk to our sheep if we were shepherds. Because he knows our nature, he knows our needs. Often, sheep don't even know their own needs. But the shepherd knows the needs. In your relationship with Christ tonight, there's a beautiful picture of the knowledge of the shepherd in verses 14 and 15. I want you to look at it with me. John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. What is the comparison of that knowledge in verse 14? But look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. What he's saying here is this. The shepherd's relationship to the sheep is just as intimate and close as the Father's relationship to the Son. Now, my friend, that is very, very special. When you think of the Father's relationship to the Son, I and my Father are one, he says. That relationship is closer than any other human relationship that we would understand. And when he takes this analogy of sheep and shepherd, what he's saying is, my knowledge of you and our relationship can be just as the Father-Son relationship. That's special. His knowledge of his sheep is special. Then we see the leadership of the shepherd. Another reason why the shepherd is needed. The shepherd never drove the sheep. He never beat the sheep. He never pushed the sheep. He led the sheep. Go to Israel today and you'll see shepherds walking along with a stream of sheep following. In other words, he goes first through the valley of the shadow of death. and leads us through it. Hey, next time you're in the hospital and you're facing a surgery and it's lonely and it's uncertain as to how it's going to turn out or if they're going to be able to fix the problem, would you remember the shepherd has led there, which means he's gone before you there? That's the relationship of the shepherd. And so, I know my sheep stresses his ownership and his watchful oversight. My sheep know me stresses their reciprocal knowledge of and intimacy with God. This indicates relationship. Look at another need of the shepherd, the protection of the shepherd. The protection of the shepherd. Do you know that Paul warned even the local church using this terminology, particularly the pastors of the local churches in Ephesus? In Acts chapter 20, he says, I cease not to warn you day and night of the fact that the flock would come under attack, that grievous wolves would enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Or in the local church setting, as we are sheep before a great shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, there are still threats of wolves to get in, and they will not spare the flock, the Bible says. And so Jesus developed this aspect of this relationship that the shepherd would be the protector of the sheep. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, John chapter 10 and verse number 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Notice in verse number 7, I am the door of the sheep. Or in other words, if a thief or robber is going to come through, they're going to have to come through me. That's what Christ was saying. In other words, one of my chief purposes in your life is protection as a shepherd. I will fulfill that role in our relationship. God says, or Christ says, I will be the protector of you. Aren't you glad for the shepherd tonight? You know, in just a few moments, we're going to meditate on the work of Christ. But in these relationships that we're learning about with Christ, he's so much more than just the sacrifice. But indeed, he is the sacrifice, which points us to the next need for the shepherd, the price the shepherd paid, the price the shepherd paid. Look at verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Five times in this sermon in John chapter 10, Jesus clearly affirms the sacrificial nature of his death. My friend, he did not die as a martyr killed by men. He died as a substitute who willingly laid down his life for you. He says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. His voluntary death was followed by his victorious resurrection. He said in this passage, I give my life that I may take it up again. That he knew he would rise again from the dead, but he still would go through death for the sheep. The good shepherd purchases the sheep, and they are his because he died for them. It's a reminder tonight of your good shepherd. Can I say it this way? There's no cost too high that the shepherd won't pay for you. There's not anybody else we could say that about. But the good shepherd already gave the maximum price for you and me when he gave his life. Can I say it this way? There's no risk too great that the shepherd, the good shepherd, wouldn't take for you. Because he already did that. He's already proved that. Can I say this? There's no danger that the shepherd wouldn't face to protect you. We're talking about the good shepherd. We're exalting the good shepherd tonight. He's paid a great price for you.
Let's look at the sheep briefly as we close the message tonight. The response of the sheep, the need for the shepherd, but the response for the sheep of the sheep. Here's how this relationship works. As the shepherd cares for the sheep get to know their shepherd better. See, a sheep, in human terms, doesn't initiate a relationship with the shepherd. The shepherd initiates a relationship with the sheep. So it is in our relationship with God. We don't initiate relationship with God. We know that. God initiates relationship with us. He draws us. We understand that the Bible says the only reason we can love Him and respond to Him is because He first loved us. And so how does this relationship develop? It develops by the shepherd taking interest in you. And as the shepherd cares for you and you understand the shepherd's work on your behalf, you understand all that the shepherd provides. Remember, a sheep's helpless, absolutely helpless. But you understand what the shepherd has invested in you. You learn the shepherd. And as you learn the shepherd, you learn to trust the shepherd. You learn to follow the shepherd. It's encouraging to think that not only does he know us, but it is possible that we as sheep can know him and know his voice and follow him. Even though sheep may be stupid, they know their master's voice. If you're a genuine sheep that belongs to God tonight, then you know the voice of the shepherd. That means that you've heard him talk to you. That means that you understand something that is very personal about this relationship with God. Young people, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer. God, could I hear your voice? God, would you talk to me? God, I know that you're a shepherd. I know that what the Scripture says is true. But God, I want to learn to hear your voice in my life on a daily basis. Listen, in being honest and working with young people for a number of years here before I became the pastor, one of the things that I would ask in just a one-on-one conversation is, when did you hear God's voice last? You know what? Some people, the young people are honest. Some would tell me, Pastor, I don't think I've ever heard that. And we would pray about that. Like, Lord, would you make your voice known to this individual? You see, the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is not dependent on whether or not the shepherd will speak and call you by name, because he will. He's the good shepherd. He knows you by name. It's not dependent on the shepherd being faithful in his work. It's dependent on the sheep hearing and trusting the shepherd to follow. Do you see that? That's very, very important in our lives. Parents, one thing you ought to be praying for your kids is, God, would you talk to them? Someday, they're going to be out of your house. You're not going to be able to say, don't do and do and don't do and do. And you're not going to do that. You know what voice they need to hear? They need to know the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd. Can he lead them like he led you? Answer, yes. And by the way, parents, it would be good for them to go through some decisions without you telling them what decision to make. It would be good for them to learn to hear the voice of God. That's vital. That's vital. That's vital to their lives. That they wrestle through. That they open the Bible. That they pray and fast. That they, God, I need to hear from you in guidance. God, would you please talk to me? The voice of the shepherd. What is the qualification to obtain all this? Is it to be a brilliant sheep? You got to be brilliant to have a relationship with the shepherd. Is it to be a beautiful sheep? You can't have any blemishes, or you can't have this relationship with the shepherd. Is it being an energetic sheep? No. It's just being a sheep that follows the shepherd's lead. and hears his voice. Scripture portrays the great shepherd leading his sheep into green pastures beside still waters. Scripture portrays the great shepherd pursuing the strays. Scripture portrays the great shepherd keeping them away from the poisonous plants, taking them to the good water, making sure they have life and abundance, providing everything for their health and their care. We're helpless. We are all dependent upon him. So what does it take, preacher? It takes listening to the voice of the shepherd and allowing him to lead you. That's the responsibility of the sheep. Know this, that the safety and health of your life, my friend, has everything to do with your response to the shepherd. Let me say it again. Know this, that the safety and health of your life, I'm not just talking about physical, I'm talking about every aspect of your life, has everything to do with your response to the shepherd. For if you're not led by the shepherd, then who are you led by? And if you're not hearing the voice of the shepherd, then what voice is guiding you in your life? Is there anybody else that's going to provide everything that we've learned that the shepherd provides for tonight? Is there anybody else in your life that can do that? Answer, no. There is one good shepherd. Know this, that the responsibilities of the shepherd are much greater than the responsibilities of the sheep. Well, preacher, I'd like to be a shepherd. Probably not. Better to be a sheep. He carries the load. We do what? We listen and we follow. We listen and we follow. Turn to Psalm 23 as I close tonight. Psalm chapter 23. Great parallel passage to John chapter 10. What's great about this passage is 17 times there are personal pronouns that are brought forth in this passage, meaning that the shepherd-sheep relationship is not something that's just ideal that never happens. It's not something that's out there somewhere that I wish it was for me. No, it's very personal. Listen to my emphasis as I read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Can you get a hold of this tonight? He's all consumed about you. He and me, he and my. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is the effect of this status and relationship on our lives? Brethren, we have nothing. We lack nothing that we need. We may not have riches, but we will not lack. We may not have what our neighbors have, but we will not lack. Our wonderful good shepherd supplies all of our needs. You ever look and say, wow, That person's younger than me and they're farther along in life than me. But remember, if they don't have the good shepherd, they're much farther behind than you. Life is not measured by the tangibles. For the believer, life is measured by the intangibles. And you have a good shepherd tonight. Hear him. Follow him. Trust him. Know him. Because he knows you. And if you're in his fold tonight, be thankful. And if you're outside of the fold, you're unsaved tonight. What a wonderful night on the night of the Lord's table to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And enter the gate, the sheepfold, by the door. The door is Christ. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.